There are two kinds of marriages in Zimbabwe. The first is a traditional one in which a man can commit himself to several women, and that is accepted by the law. Then there is civil marriage that says a man can only marry one woman. Sylvia Chirau, the National Coordinator of Women and Law in Southern Africa, says there is also a third type of customary marriage that is not registered and allows a man to pay lobola or bridal price for as many women as he wants or can afford.
Basically, there are two recognized registered marriages. The first one being the Chapter 5-11 marriage, which some people still refer to as Chapter 37. This type of marriage means that if a man enters into it or a woman, they are supposed to stick to one spouse. They're not supposed to get married to anyone else unless they divorce. So it's one man, one wife. The second type of registered marriage is the Customary Marriages Act, Chapter 507. It used to be called Chapter 238. Which turned some people to use. Under this type of marriage, a man can marry as many wives as he wants. So each wife will have their own marriage certificate. So in other words, this marriage allows polygyny. There's also a third type of customary marriage, and it's not registered. And actually, in terms of the law, it's called an unregistered customary law union. And this union comes into being when a man pays lobola for a woman, and he can pay lobola for as many women as he wants. So we have this type of marital regime where we have customary law marriage existing side by side with a general law marriage.
Chirau says the Prime Minister's marital woes expose the confusion regarding Zimbabwe's marriage law.
Basically, Lokadia's case is that she was married by the Prime Minister under customary law, and the Prime Minister has not terminated that customary law union, and he went on to marry another woman, Elizabeth, under customary law, and then sought to elevate the customary law union to a Chapter 511 marriage. So there's a lot of confusion really regarding our marriage laws. If we look at the criminal law code, it actually says such a situation would constitute bigamy, which is a criminal offense. In other words, what the criminal law code is saying is that if you are a man and you marry under customary law, you can actually, in terms of the law, elevate that marriage to a 5-1 marriage, but with the same woman. But what you can't do is to get another woman and then marry under Chapter 511 without terminating the existing customary law union.
The Prime Minister's planned civil wedding to Elizabeth Macheka turned into a traditional bride handover ceremony without an exchange of marriage vows after the couple's marriage license was cancelled and a court decision recognizing Lokadia Karimatsenga Tembo as his customary wife. The marital squabbles spilled over to the courts where Mr. Tsvangirai is appealing against the cancellation of the marriage license. At the same time, Karimatsenga was seeking maintenance from the Prime Minister in the courts. The two later reached an out-of-courts maintenance settlement that reportedly reached a six-figure sum. Karimatsenga's lawyer, Jonathan Samkange, says his client did not start by going to court, but says she tried everything in terms of Shona custom to have the matter resolved amicably.
Before we went into court, Lokadia went into Tungis, where the Tsvangirai's elders are, in terms of our culture. I got into my house, which my husband had found for me, which is in Kisipiti. I found the place is deserted. All the goods have been removed from the household. Goods have been removed, right? But I've come to my husband, and they tried to get hold of Tsvangirai. For 4 days and four nights, Tsvangirai was saying he's coming, he never came, until he left. And if Tsvangirai had gone at that time, I'm sure she would not have gone to court. But he didn't. The opportunity was there. He didn't. He was just being stubborn. And personally, I think the people who are advising him are not giving him proper advice.
The Prime Minister's lawyer argues that Mr. Tsvangirai should have been allowed to marry Elizabeth Macheka under civil law, denying the Prime Minister paid a bride price or lobola for Karimatsenga, insisting that he only paid damages for getting her pregnant.
His position was that he did not marry Lokadia contrary to what she was saying, right? The suggestion or the position taken by Lokadia say that there is a video which captures a ceremony being conducted does not in itself be evidence that what the Prime Minister was saying is not correct position. Prime Minister's position is always been to say he did not instruct anybody to go and conduct a ceremony in the form of paying the lobola. That position has been vindicated when we were at court by the people whom he had sent. The delegation which he had sent has already told the court in the affidavits that they have deposed to that they had gone on in good faith to pay this lobola, notwithstanding the fact that the Prime Minister had not agreed with that. Their intention was perhaps to allow a situation where they thought maybe the Prime Minister would change his mind or something, but they are very clear that they did it without his consent and knowledge.
Mr. Changirai then raised eyebrows when he instructed his lawyers to pay a divorce token called Gupuru via the courts. Chagonda insists that the Gupuru, a dollar note, was not being paid out of an acceptance that there was a marriage ceremony, but was paid to say that if Karima Tsenga really believed that the Premier had paid the bride price, then he was now giving her the divorce token. Chagonda says Gupuru can be paid anywhere, and as far as Mr. Changirai is concerned, that gesture was tendered.
Under customary law, Gupuru is paid to the woman. She will then take it, and it will be incumbent upon herself to go and tell a parent that she has been divorced and that she has received a Gupuru. There is absolutely no procedure which has got to be taken in terms of doing anything other than giving it to her or her representative. In fact, one could even throw that token away at her and for her to pick up. And if she were to go and say to her parents she has been divorced, the first question which the parents would ask is, where is that token to show that you have divorced? So what you need to do is to clearly show your intention by giving that token, because this is a union which is unregistered. You don't go to court and get a divorce certificate. What you simply need to do is to do that token. There is absolutely no strict formalities that have got to be taken. What needs to be shown is that somebody no longer wants the relationship. So this is what the Prime Minister has said. It is very clear, it is in black and white, that even if there is a relationship, even if there was a relationship in the first place, it takes two to tango. He has publicly said he no longer likes it, and he wants to move on with his life.
But Karima Tsenga's lawyer says there is no way that Gupuru can be made through the courts. Samkange says the Prime Minister has to follow tradition, and just like when he first proposed face-to-face to Karima Tsenga, he now has to come face-to-face with his estranged partner.
No, to start with, this is how things are done. We must be proud of our culture. We must be proud of our custom. Our custom is that Tsvangirai is married to Rokatia. Those are the two people who met in the absence of all of us. Tsvangirai must go to Rokatia personally and say to Rokatia, listen, Rokatia, my dear, I was in love with you, but I'm not longer in love with you. And because you've done X, Y, Z, I want a divorce, right? And to show that I want a divorce, here is my one daughter. I no longer love you, right? Rokatia can do two things. She can either accept the Gupuru, or she can say, no, I'm going to accept that, right? Then Tsvangirai must go to Rokatia's aunties and say, look, I got a problem with your niece, but maybe this is the problem I have with your niece, but I no longer love him. I've given her the Gupuru. She doesn't want to accept it, but this is the $1 that I've brought. I don't want it. The aunties are bound then to deal with the issue. But you can't send a lawyer to say, go and pay Gupuru, to go and give it to some gang.
So,
how can I accept Gupuru on behalf of Rokatia? Was I married to Tsvangirai myself?
Sylvia Chirau says even in terms of customary law, there is still confusion as to how a man can go about giving Gupuru or the divorce token.
One of the major points of contention really revolves around the issue of Gupuru, which is a rejection token in English. And there's a lot of confusion again because different tribes follow different part in terms of kupuru. What I know from my culture is that if a man wants to divorce a wife under customary law, then the kupuru used to be 10 cents, but people have just come up with 2 rand. I don't know where it came from, but basically the woman is given the money, you know, personally. Then other tribes also say that the money has to go through an aunt or the munyai, who is the go-between. So even in terms of customary law, there's still confusion as to really how a man can go about giving the rejection token.
Jonah Gokova, chairman of Pandare, a men's forum that advocates for gender justice, says the Prime Minister's marital saga exposes the serious challenges relating to how men behave and is also a clear reflection of the increased vulnerability of women in the country. However, Gokova says while it is clear that Mr. Tsvangirai has made some blunders, the tone of the women's engagement is also, in his words, vindictive, aided by a partisan media.
What I see coming out of this development is that there are very serious challenges relating to how we behave as men. There is also a clear reflection of the increased vulnerability of women. But I think in this case, both men and women need to learn something, that they must take responsibility for their actions. It's not good enough to blame the man who happens to be our prime minister because he was relating to women. But what we are also finding out, discovering from the women, at least the tone of their engagement, is that actually they've taken on a very vindictive tone, that you know, it's either I have you or I destroy you. It must be accepted that the Prime Minister must have made his own blunders and so on and so forth. We accept that, and I'm sure he's aware of it, and he knows he needs to correct that. But also, I think we need to look at the situation in terms of the prevailing situation, the role of the partisan media, and the politicization of the whole thing. So that makes the whole situation very, very, very ugly.
Mr. Tsvangirai has also come under attack politically for courting women with strong ties to ZANU-PF. Karima Senga's lawyer agrees that the Prime Minister should have done background checks on all the women with whom he said to have had relationships with after his wife died in 2009.
This is more ridiculous. You know Elizabeth Macheka, who is Macheka the father? Who is he in ZANU-PF? Huh? Who is he? He's the one who is chasing up after ZANU-PF. And then he complained afterwards that I say, and when he was proposing, Macheka didn't know that Macheka's father is one of the top ZANU-PF, both in Harare Central and in the party. Didn't he know? And when he went out with Kem Berukate, didn't know that the father was a struggler in ZANU-PF as a prime minister. Do you just go out with a woman because she is a woman? Do you do some background check? Ask your guys of security to check who this woman is. You may have met her, but say, please find out who she is, isn't it? Is that not normal? Yes, is that not normal? You just go out without checking, and they check, you found that the one that is claiming to want to marry now, and the one that is did, and the other one, they are all ZANU-PF women. Why did he ask ZANU-PF women for?
Sylvia Chirawu says, politics aside, the fundamental point in all this is the limited recognition that is given to customary or unregistered unions.
So really, this issue about the Prime Minister, politics aside, is raised fundamental issues in relation to our marriage laws, which are seriously flawed in that they seem to give credence to the 511 marriage, monogamous marriage, yet anecdotal evidence suggests that a lot of women are in unregistered customer law union. So it's really high time that something is done from a legal perspective to protect the rights of women in these unregistered marriages.
Furthermore, the legal expert says under customary law, married women can assume their husband's surnames, but if their marriage is not registered, they cannot use their spouse's name.
If you are married under the Customary Marriages Act, you can use your husband's surname because you get a marriage certificate. But if your bona is paid only and the marriage is then not registered, you cannot use the husband's surname as your own surname because in the eyes of the law, that's not a marriage, it's a union. So you don't really acquire many rights except those that I've mentioned. So there are a lot of problems, really, insofar as this unregistered customer law marriage is concerned. The registered customer law marriage, it's really okay because you do have your marriage certificate. No one will ask you for proof, you know, and say, you know, you are not married. What you simply need to do is to produce a marriage certificate. But if you don't have that marriage certificate now, the other problem that arises is also even proving that the marriage, the customary union exists. So if you note in the Prime Minister's case, Lokade to go all out to actually show proof that the Prime Minister had paid Lobola for her. So we do get a lot of these situations where women now actually have to prove that the Lobola was paid for them. And in some instances, women are unable to prove, especially in relation to inheritance. And if they are unable to prove that they are customarily married, then that's the end of the road for them. They will not be entitled to inheriting.
Lobby groups like Padare are calling for the harmonization of the customary and civil marriage laws to ensure the interests of women are protected. But others say that would assume that women live under one system. The reality is that some women live under polygamous marriages, while others are in monogamous unions. Legal experts believe the ideal would be to have a specific law that recognizes unregistered customary unions as marriages to ensure that the rights of all women are protected. Reporting for Voice of America Studio 7 from Washington, this is Violet Gonda.